This is Choices with Judy Mario. Welcome. We know, of course, that everything in our lives exists because we made a choice about something. The choices we made are what have brought us to where we are today, and we must accept the consequences of our choices. Too often, our choices are determined by emotional attitudes and reactions to external circumstances without due regard to thoughtful decision. And when we allow negative emotional reactions to direct our choices, we find ourselves facing consequences we don't desire. Using our power of logical thinking helps us to make wiser choices, which can create more desirable results. But today, we're going to use our power of the subconscious mind. We're going to talk about how to do that in order to achieve the success that we want in our lives. Listeners, every show I do comes from you, and the things you've told me are important to you. I want to be sure we talk about what's on your mind, so be sure to write me at Judy, J-U-D-I, at judymorio.com. That's Judy, J-U-D-I, at J-U-D-I-M-O-R-E-O.com. Our topic today is using your subconscious mind to achieve success. And it also happens to be one of the topics in my book, You Are More Than Enough, Every Woman's Guide to Purpose, Passion, and Power, and also in my new book, Overcoming Cancer, A Journey of Faith. I mean, this is such an empowering, important, empowering topic. It's something that we should be talking about all the time, and I guess that's why I keep writing about it over and over, because I don't believe that people actually do use the power of the subconscious mind as effectively as they could. So today, let's just talk about why the subconscious mind is so important. And if you remember back when you were a child, you probably imagined yourself as other things, as a cowboy or a princess or a doctor or an astronaut. I did. I would transform myself into a particular character for a period of time and have wonderful adventures. And sometimes I even imagined friends and younger brothers and sisters. In fact, I had an imaginary friend for absolutely years, but we lived in an area where I was a child that was by myself. My brothers and sisters were all older, so I played by myself all the time. And back then, we didn't really watch TV, and we didn't have computer games. And so I just would make things up in my mind. And I think it's good that kids did that, and I wish kids today would spend more time doing that, using their mind for creating things, because in the long run, it helps us to be more successful later on in life. My mom was really taken aback one day when one of the ladies from the church called to find out who the new baby was that I told her about. I'd failed to add the part about the baby being in my imagination only. My mother was just about to kill me that I'd spread this rumor. Well, you know, this is something that it can be used for good or it can be used for bad, and many of us don't use our minds for good or as good as we could. So let's talk about how you can use this same skill today. Imagine yourself being the person you want to become. Well, even Shakespeare once said, assume a virtue if you have it not. In other words, act the part, act as if. So just imagine you are the person you would like to be, and it won't be long until you realize you are. I can hear you saying, oh, yeah, Judy, that sounds real easy. Who are you kidding? But the subconscious mind, or the subconscious part of our minds, I should say, cause us to feel and act in agreement with what we imagine to be true about ourselves and our environment. And when we realize our behaviors are a result of the images and beliefs that we create in our minds, we free ourselves up to use our imaginations as though our thoughts are reality. If we see ourselves performing a certain way, our subconscious mind perceives we are actually performing that way. The subconscious mind doesn't know the difference between what is real and what is imagined. It only knows what we tell it. We can think ourselves into success and prosperity by concentrating on the good we have now and focusing on a positive future. Whatever thoughts you hold in your conscious mind, those give direction to your subconscious. And whatever you impress on your subconscious mind will be what you experience in your life. The father of American psychology, William James, once said, "The power to move the world is in your subconscious mind." Well, one person who has proven this to be true is a man whom I was fortunate enough to meet while living in South Africa. I was in Cape Town in 1990 when Nelson Mandela was released after 27 years of imprisonment, and I was present when he gave his State of the Union address. At a dinner we both attended at the Soweto newspaper, I had the opportunity to speak with him, and I was so impressed with this man who had become president of South Africa that I later went and bought his book, A Long Walk to Freedom, and read it from cover to cover in order to learn the details of his quest. You know, you might want to get this book. It's a hard read. It's a big, thick book, but it's an incredible story, and there's so much wonderful information in it. But when I was talking to President Mandela, he wasn't actually president right then. He was getting ready to run for president when I met him. And I asked him about how he felt and how he could spend 27 years in prison and come out without being bitter. He said, "I never seriously considered the possibility that I would not emerge from prison one day. I am fundamentally an optimist. And whether that comes from nature or nurture, I cannot say." A part of being optimistic is keeping one's head pointed toward the sun and one's feet moving forward. He added that there were many dark moments when his faith in humanity was sorely tested, but he couldn't give himself up to despair. He said, "I always knew that I would walk free one day. I thought continually of the day I would walk free over and over. I fantasized about what I would like to do." Now, what did this man know that filled him with such determined optimism that's not experienced by other people? Well, I have to tell you, it's almost unbelievable to think that someone could spend 27 years and still be that optimistic. During my stay in South Africa, I had two opportunities to visit the cell at Robben Island where Mr. Mandela had been incarcerated. It was 3 paces wide and 6 long, and it had no bathroom facilities. There was just this little cot in a corner and a tired little cot on which to sleep and a little nasty table with a wooden chair, not a comfortable chair, a wooden chair, where he could sit and write at the table if he wanted to. And I remember as I stood in that cell, I wondered if under those circumstances I could have chosen to believe that one day we would make the dream of freedom come true for a whole country. I would just be concentrated on getting myself out of there. I lived there in South Africa throughout Mandela's reign as president, and I watched and experienced his vision of a peaceful transition actually become reality. A person with less vision would never have been able to make this happen for an entire country. And what I think about this is that our circumstances are not as extreme as his were. Certainly, if Mandela could imagine freedom for the people of a nation and have it come true after spending 27 years in prison, you and I should be able to imagine the successful future we desire. So let's quit whining and think about how do we do that? How do we make it happen? Well, it's just kind of like when I was a child, my mother taught me to sew. And what happens there is first you create something in your mind, and then you create it. And if you look at the analogy of sewing, it's so easy, really. First, we would go to the fabric store, and we would select a picture from a pattern book of a garment I'd like to have. And then we'd get the pattern and read the instructions on the back, how much fabric it would take to make the garment and what other notions we would need. And then we would go through the store and select a fabric, a trim such as lace or ribbon, some buttons, some thread, and a zipper. And I would get so excited I could see that garment made with the fabric before it was even cut out. I could see me wearing it and how happy I was going to be. And then we would go home and lay the pattern on the fabric, pin the pattern down, cut the fabric, pin it together, and sew it up. And in hardly any time at all, I would have a new dress. In fact, the more excited I was about it, the sooner the dress would get finished. Now think about it. That's how creative visualization works in your life. First, you get the picture in your mind, and you get clear on the outcome that you desire. You vividly imagine it. You imagine what color and how big it's going to be, what supplies or resources you need, if there's going to be any trim to your life and how it fits with your lifestyle. And you've got to be able to see it in your mind in complete detail and feel it in your very being. Consciously holding this picture in your mind, then your imagination goes to work on the how-to part of the equation and will bring to your conscious mind a logical approach for making it become reality. Once you have the vision, you are ready to start making your action plan, exploring the possibilities, and setting your goals. You just have to prepare yourself. Whether it is a creative endeavor like sewing or a stressful event in your life, like say an illness or something going wrong, you can prepare yourself for it by imagining the scenario and seeing the outcome the way you want it to be. Well, an example of a stressful situation might be when you're applying for a job. Before you go on the interview, imagine that you'll get the job. Imagine what it'll be like to work in this company. Imagine what you'll be doing in your new job and what you would like to make happen in this new position. This will help you be more confident at the job interview, and you'll be more likely to get the job. What you're doing is conditioning your mind, which causes the rest of you to act confidently in this particular situation. If you imagine yourself not getting the job and you imagine you wouldn't know how to handle the job if you got it, you probably won't get it. Your imagination is so powerful. See, your imagination is where your creativity begins. Someone once imagined lighter-than-air flying machines before airplanes became a reality, just the way someone imagined computers, Palm Pilots, digital clocks, credit cards, ballpoint pens, and even pantyhose. All of these things were first ideas in someone's imagination. In the 1940s, most people couldn't even imagine a television set in every home. In fact, Daryl F. Zanuck, who was the head of the 20th Century Fox movie studio, said, "Video won't be able to hold on to any market it captures after the first 6 months. People will soon get tired of staring at a plywood box every night." And he was in the business. Even in the 1960s, few people could imagine a computer in every home. Today, little small children tote their laptops to school. Each of these significant changes began in someone's imagination. When we imagine something, we actually cause it to become reality. It is an idea, and then we start to think of it as a possibility. Well, you've seen science fiction movies that had plots that were so far out there, no one would ever believe they could be real. Yet, within a few years, science fiction became science fact, as those scenarios became reality. Man orbited the Earth and subsequently walked and even played golf on the moon. This is Choices Radio with Judy Mario, and today we are talking about how to use the power of your subconscious mind to achieve the success that you want. You can learn more about me and the products I offer, which can help you to make your life even more successful, by going to judymario.com. That's JUDIMOREO.com. You will become as much or as little as you imagine. Marcus Aurelius, the Roman philosopher, said, "If the mind of man can conceive an idea and believe it, the man can achieve it." If we can create the image in our minds, we can produce the physical manifestation in our lives, even if such an image has never existed before. When you visualize something, you are establishing new patterns in your brain, the same as if you were actually doing what you are visualizing. You are directing your brain to give you the result you want to achieve. When you plan your day, it works the same way. You are visualizing your day. As you go through your activities, you may have to adjust and modify your actions in order to achieve the result you want by the end of the day. But the planning is important because it gives you that visualization. It prepares your subconscious mind. Is there something you want? What is your dream? What do you want? Perhaps a new car? Well, if so, imagine every detail of that car. Will it be a family car or a sports car? Four doors or two? What color would you like? How much horsepower will it have? What will the interior be like? Will the seats be leather or cloth? Visit car dealerships. Look at the cars that are for sale. Take a demonstration ride and imagine how you will feel driving that car when you own it. A few years ago, I had a desire to have a black Mercedes Lorenzo. Oh, I wanted that car. I cut out pictures out of magazines, and I put those pictures on the visor of my old car, on my refrigerator, on the mirror in my bathroom. I just kept looking at the pictures of that car, hoping and dreaming that one day I could have a car like that. And you know what happened? I was sitting in Spanish class on a Saturday morning, and I heard the man behind me say to the woman behind me, "Do you know anybody who wants to buy a Mercedes?" She said, "No, why?" He said, "Well, I bought this Mercedes for my girlfriend, and she doesn't like it. And I've got to get her a smaller Mercedes. She wants the little convertible Mercedes. She doesn't want this four-door Mercedes." And I'm listening to this, and I'm thinking, as he described the car, I'm thinking, that sounds like the car that I want. And he kept talking about it and talking how the girlfriend didn't like it. And finally, I just turned around and I said to him, "Listen, would you like a new girlfriend?" Well, everybody cracked up. We started laughing. We thought it was quite funny. And he said, no, I like the girlfriend fine. I just want to get rid of this car. He said, "I'm going to sell it for what I owe on it so that I can just move on and get her a different car." So I said, "Well, could I look at the car after class?" And so he said yes. And after class, I went over and took a look at the car and test-drived it. And it was exactly the car I was looking for. And he said, "Would you like to buy it?" And I said, "How much are you selling it for?" And, of course, he told me that he was selling it for just what he owed on it, which was about half what the car was worth at the time. And I said, "Yes, I want it." And I bought the car. So I got my beautiful black Mercedes. And I'm a believer that it comes about because we see it first in our mind. We see that we can have it. We see that it's out there for us. And then the universe somehow makes it happen and makes it cross our path. And I don't know exactly how it works, but it does work. So you just got to get real clear on what it is you want. Perhaps you're looking for a new person in your life. Get real clear. What kind of personality would this person have? What values will he or she have? What interests will they have? How will they look? How will they treat you? Maybe you want a great new job. What would you like to do? What hours do you want to work? Will you wear a uniform or street clothes? What kind of boss will you have, if any? You come a lot closer to getting what you want if you know exactly what you want, rather than just having a vague idea or hoping for something good. You know, many people use their mind in the opposite way. They really think about the negativity. They think about the things that will go wrong, the things that they won't get. They believe things like, "Oh, I could never own a house like this," or "We won't fit in here." And guess what? When you believe that way, that's what comes true. It starts first with you thinking that you can. Don't be like negative people. Get rid of mental limitations. You can do it simply by imagining and focusing on what it is you do want instead of what you don't want. Whatever you focus on is what you get. So if you focus on what you don't want, you're going to get that as surely as if you focused on what you do want. Concentrate on what you do want. You know, we all have obstacles around us, and we're going to need to avoid those obstacles. Focus instead on where you want to go, whether it's a great new car, a wonderful new job, or a new sense of self-worth. The subconscious part of your mind ignores the words "not" and "don't" and translates the message the same as if you had asked for what you don't want. So if you say, "I'm not going to be overweight," the subconscious mind hears "overweight," and it directs your conscious mind to do exactly that. So instead say, "I am at my perfect weight. I am exactly the size and shape I want to be." And then the subconscious mind will start to work on that. you can use your mind creatively. You can create positive pictures in your mind of all the things that you want to be and do and have. You know, every year for the past 12 years, my business partner Fiona and I have gotten together on New Year's Eve, and we get out our goal achievement journals and we write all of our goals for the business and for our personal lives for the next year. We write what we want to happen month by month. We cut the pictures, the words, and the letters out of magazines, and we paste them into the book. And our goal pages become colorful collages of what it is we desire to achieve and acquire in the coming year. The first year that we did this, we decided on December 28th that we were going to set goals. And we identified that we wanted to go to Sun City, South Africa, and stay in the palace at the Lost City on New Year's Eve. And as it was a new resort, and this was the very first New Year's Eve the palace was open for business, rooms were really hard to come by. And it was only a couple of days away. We called the palace to make reservations and were told they were completely booked. So Fiona told the reservation person it was very important for us to stay there to set our goals for the new year because we were starting a new business and one of our goals for the year was to stay at the palace. And if we could stay at the palace on the very first weekend of the year, it would prove to us that our other goals could come true as well and give us more enthusiasm to work toward them. The reservationist was very sympathetic and said she would see what she could do. I'm sure she thought we were a couple of poops. And about an hour later, we received an invitation to go to a New Year's Eve party, so we didn't want to turn it down unless we could get the rooms at the palace. So Fiona called the reservation clerk again and explained that we didn't want to be a pest, but she needed to give this other person an answer right away. And as our goal setting was very, very important to us, we really needed to know if we were going to get rooms or not. The reservation clerk said she had only one room and we would have to take it for two nights. And Fiona said it would be okay with us to share and reserve the room. The clerk explained to us it was on the ground floor and that was the best she could do. And we thanked her and expressed our appreciation for her effort on our behalf. And when we went to the hotel, we, of course, took her a small gift. And we'll talk about gifts and the power of gifts a little later on in another episode of Choices with Judy Morio. On New Year's Eve day, we arrived at the hotel and Fiona explained to the front desk clerk that we were setting our yearly corporate goals and we really needed to be in a very high place because we wanted to set very high goals. And she asked if there was any way he could give us a great room with a view. And he was very gracious and assigned us a huge room on the sixth floor overlooking the elephant walk. Now, you just don't get much better than that at the palace because that elephant walk is an incredible view. And we sent, of course, that young man a thank you gift as well. Be sure that you always share your goals with other people who can help you get them and ask them for their help. I mean, people like to help other people, even if they do think you're a little bit odd. I'm sure the reservation clerk and the desk clerk both thought we were not normal, but they helped us achieve our goal anyway. And then be sure to thank people who have helped you. People love to be appreciated. They absolutely love to be appreciated. At the end of every day throughout the year, we record our daily miracles in the book, the goal book, the achievement journal that I designed over a period of 20 years. And miracles are the way that life responds to our wishes, our dreams, our desires, our visualizations. So miracles do happen every single day. Don't close your off to miracles because they do. And so what we'd do, we'd write the miracles in the book, and then we'd write our gratitude for what we've achieved and what we acquired that day. And you see, what we've done was we imprinted our goals in our subconscious mind in colorful pictures. And by writing in the book every day, we look at the pictures on a consistent basis. Then the subconscious mind goes to work making these things happen and making us aware that they are happening so we can take advantage of the opportunities when they're presented. If you want to get what you want, you must first know what you want. The clearer the picture is in your mind, the greater chance of your achieving that goal. Most years, all of our goals have been accomplished by July or August. One year I pasted a picture of the pyramids in Egypt in my book on the month of May, and I actually just pasted it there because I liked the picture. It would be nice to do idea, but I didn't have any plans to do it. I didn't even think about it again until after we got an offer in April to go to Egypt in May to do some work. when we got the offer, my first thought was, I couldn't go. I can't go because I had too much work to do. Then Fiona reminded me I had pasted the picture in my book and caused this to happen in my life. So we went to Egypt. We did the training. We saw the sights. We took a boat trip down the Nile. We stayed in a marvelous hotel, enjoyed fabulous food, and we went first class. Through my creative imagination, I was able to manifest this amazing trip. There are worlds of possibilities out there, and yet many of us never see them because we don't think they are possible for us. We think things would be nice or nice to have or nice to do, but then we think negatively. Those aren't for people like us. We have responsibilities. Well, you just have to pretend you have a fairy godmother and she appears before you this very minute and says, you can make all your dreams come true. And if she did that and you knew that would come true, would you be very specific? I would. I'd get real specific about what I wanted. Well, if you were to have the life you dream of, you must know what you want. In his book, Psycho-Cybernetics, the author, Maxwell Maltz, tells us, a human being always acts and feels and performs in accordance with what he imagines to be true about himself and his environment. It is important for you to imagine being and feeling who and what you want to be. If you are shy, imagine yourself being outgoing and meeting new people with confidence. If you are fearful of a situation, imagine how you would be if you had courage, how you would act, what you would do, and what you would say. The technique of imagining actually imprints new data into your brain and central nervous system, creating a new self-image. If you will practice imagining the new you for a while, you will find you don't need to take any conscious actions because your subconscious will direct you to act automatically in ways that are consistent with your imagination. This may sound too easy to you, almost magical and unbelievable, but I assure you there's nothing illogical about it. You don't just make a wish and poof, it happens. It takes conscious effort. As much as we'd like there to be, there's no magic to it. Instead, we have to create a thought which is more powerful than any wave of our imaginary fairy godmother's wand. This is Judy Mario. And it is Choices Magazine. And, oh no, but this is Choices Radio Show. We also have a magazine called Choices Magazine. You can get it online. It's an incredible magazine with all kinds of wonderful authors. So when you get the choice, go online and look for Choices Magazine or go to judymoyo.com and we have a link there. For Choices Magazine, you can just click on it and it'll take you right over to the magazine. So just read the magazine. I think you're going to love it. I really do. And what we're talking about today is using the power of your unconscious mind, of your subconscious mind, and it is kind of your unconscious, because we're not aware of the subconscious mind, but we've been talking about using the power of your subconscious mind, and I want you to remember when you do that, your life is as limitless as your imagination. You can make things happen. Contact me, Judy, at judymoreau.com. That's Judy at judymoreau.com, and let me know what kinds of things you would like to hear about on our Choices Radio Show. Thank you for listening to me today, and always remember, you are more than enough.